So that song was talking about the fact that it's Jesus who gives us the way in to sit with God. Now, if you can't see my sofa here and you're small and you'd like to be able to see it, you might like to come and sit at the front or just shuffle into the aisle or something, because I have some very special guests this morning who I'd like to introduce you to. They're having a party, and here we go. Let's introduce you. So the person who's throwing the party is Mr. Piggy. And trying to remember whether Mr. Piggy squeaks. No, he doesn't. Mr. Piggy decided that he would have a party, and he would invite all his friends. And there was one particular friend who he'd known for a very, very long time, and he wanted to honour him, to say to his other friends, look, this is my very special friend who I've known for a very long time, and I want to introduce you to him because I think you'll really like him. And Mr. Piggy decided that he would sit at one end of his special party bench. There he sat. And one by one, his friends arrived. So, we have Barnabas. Barnabas is a bear, which I bought for my husband when I first met him, because he told me he didn't have any teddy bears. And I felt so sorry for him that I thought I'd give him a bear. I also wanted him to go out with me, and so I thought I'll buy him an encourager. And Barnabas means encourager. So this is Barnabas Bear. Barnabas is one of Piggy's friends. And he comes along and he says, hello, Piggy. Hello, Barnabas. Thank you for asking me to your party. I'll just come and sit here somewhere on your party bench. And Piggy said, that's great. Lovely. Welcome. Come in. The next person to arrive was Paul. Paul was called Paul because when my oldest son was about 4 months old, we had some financial papers that had to be delivered to an office in London, and we'd kind of missed the deadline for putting them in the post. So I took my life in my hands with a four-month-old in a backpack, a front pack, and we braved London. And I was so proud of myself for the fact that we had managed London on our own that I decided we should reward ourselves with a bear. And this was Paul. He was near St. Paul's, hence the name. And I seem to remember getting some very funny looks because I seem to be paying more attention to the bear than the baby on the tube. But never mind. This is Paul. He's one of Piggy's friends, and he came along to the party and said, hello, Piggy. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for asking me to your party. I'll just come and chat to Barnabas. So he came and chatted to Barnabas. That was lovely. Then along came perhaps one of Piggy's most important friends. Well, he thought he was pretty important. This is Wainwright. And Wainwright came from the Lake District. And Wainwright has shoes and a hat. He has a backpack. And in his backpack, he has a map so that when he goes on a walk, he knows where he's going. And Wainwright thinks that he's really rather special. And so Wainwright turns up at the party and he says, hello, Piggy. Hello, Paul. Hello, Barnabas. So nice to see you. I'm just going to come and sit right next to you, Piggy, because I want a good chat and I want to tell you all about the important things I've been doing. And Piggy looked at him and went, okay. But he said, I'm still waiting for someone else to come. And finally, the last guest to arrive looks a little tatty. His head is just about attached. It's helped with a little bit of plaster. This, he's got patches on his feet and his hands. He used to be very fluffy and very furry. This is Little Ted. Little Ted has has been my teddy bear since before I was one. So he's very old. He doesn't look that great. He's stuffed with sawdust. He doesn't always smell that great. But to me, he's quite special. And I tell you something, he's also quite special to Piggy. So when he turned up at Piggy's party and sort of crept in and said, "Hi, Piggy," he came and sat on the end of the party bench. And Piggy was not very happy. Piggy said, "Little Ted, you're the one that I want to sit next to me. So Wainwright, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go and sit further down." Wainwright was not best pleased. In fact, he was very embarrassed, and he was going, but I've got clothes and everything. Look at me, I've got a map. I could help you on a walk. I've got shoes." And Piggy went, "Yeah, I'm sorry, go down the end." So Wainwright had to go and sit at the end. He almost sat on Little Ted. And Little Ted came out, and Piggy said, "Little Ted, come and sit next to me. You're my oldest friend. You are really important. And this party is for you. I want everybody to know what a great bear you are and how much I love you." There we go. So Piggy's party was an interesting affair. And the one who thought that he probably wasn't very important, he didn't look great, he didn't smell great, he didn't have posh clothes, he was the one that Piggy thought was most important. Now, in the story that we heard from the Bible, that was the story, basically, wasn't it? Jesus saw people coming in and choosing the best places at a party, and he said, "You need to be careful when you do that, because you're assuming that you're better than everybody else." We might rank ourselves in all sorts of ways. We might think about who's the cleverest person we know. We might think about who's the smartest person we know, who has the best taste in clothes. We might think about who's the prettiest person we know, or the fastest, or the person who's been around longest, or the person who's newest. Jesus said, when you invite people to your parties, don't just ask the people who you think are the best at everything. Don't just ask the people who you want something from or who you think owe you something. Ask the other people. Ask the people who perhaps aren't the smartest or the cleverest, who don't have nice things, the people who would really love to be welcomed to a party. And don't ever assume that you're more important than someone else, because it was desperately embarrassing for poor old Wainwright when Little Ted came along and he discovered that he needed to move down. Now, when this was written, there were all sorts of different people coming to know Jesus. And for the early church, the Jewish Christians, who thought that they knew everything and they'd been around for a long time, that they were the most important, that they were the special people in God's eyes, had to learn that the Gentile Christians, the newest, the most baby Christians, were just as important as them. And Jesus wanted them to be welcomed in. And it was even the case that where there were things that the Jewish Christians did because it was part of their heritage, God started to challenge them and say, "Is that really important? Is it really important that people follow all the rules and do it the way that you like? Or is it actually more important that you share God's love with them? That you reach out and say, 'Okay, you might not dress like me, you might not sound like me, but God loves you just as much.'" So for us today, how can we make sure that we're reflecting the hospitality that Jesus said was important? He said, don't just ask the important people. Don't just share your home and your meal and your church with the people who look like you and sound like you. Make sure that you are listening out for the other people. Jesus said you need to look for the people who are the last, the least, and the lost. Those are the ones who I want to invite into my party, to bring up to the front, to make a fuss of, and for you to get to know them and encourage them. So our welcome as a church is down to all of us. How we look at other people, how we judge them, whether we sometimes judge them on whether they've got the right clothes, whether they look like they know what they're doing, or whether perhaps they don't at all. Jesus doesn't put people into some kind of order and say, these are the best, these are the ones I'm not interested in. He draws everybody in together. So our welcome is down to all of us. We need to not assume that we're better than anyone else. We need to look out for others. If you feel this morning like you're a bit of an outsider, perhaps, then I'd like to say, come along to our newcomer supper. Don't stay on the edges. As a church, we have a very big sort of group around our edges of people who come along occasionally, who would say this is their church, but don't feel like they really belong in the family. And we'd love to stretch our boundaries to say everybody belongs in this family because this is Jesus's party and he welcomes us all. We're going to pray now and we're going to pray using our hands. I hope you've brought a hand with you this morning. If you've got a hand, you might like to hold it in front of you. And we're going to think about different people in our society and people that we can pray with. We're going to start with our thumbs. So if you could find your thumb, if you can't find yours, you might find your neighbour's thumb. Give it a bit of a wiggle, make sure it's working. Now, your thumb is tremendously important. At our lunch table yesterday at home, we had a conversation about how sometimes people's toes are used as thumbs if they lose a thumb. And apparently my oldest son's toe looks like, big toe, looks like a thumb. But that's just distracting, really, isn't it? The reason people would do that is that it's difficult to grip things without a thumb. A lot of the things we do, we may not think about them, but we need our thumb. So we're going to start by praying for the people that we need, the people who give us strength and help us to do things. So as you hold your thumb, you might like to do a thumbs up. Let's be quiet and I'm going to say a prayer. Father God, thank you for the people who are strong in our lives, for our parents, for our brothers and sisters and best friends. Please would you bless them and help us to remember to say thank you when they make us strong and help us. Amen. Right, your next finger is a pointy finger. And it's rude to point, but I'm going to point at you. There are people in our society who point us in the right direction. If you ask a policeman the way, they'll go, oh yes, you go that way. If you ask a teacher how to learn, they'll say, well, if you do this, if you go to the doctor and say, there's something wrong with me, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? They'll say, try this. So we're going to pray for the people who point us in the right direction. So hold your pointy finger and let's say a prayer. Jesus, thank you that you show us the way to go when we listen to you. Thank you for the people in our society who show us the right way to go, for teachers and doctors particularly. And we pray that you would help them to make good decisions and to teach us well. Amen. Okay, right, your next finger is probably your longest finger. And so we're going to use our middle finger to pray for the people who stand up above others in our society, for people who are elected as politicians or as local councillors, for our prime minister, for people who lead us. Let's pray for our leaders. Lord, thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace. And we pray for leaders locally and across our world and ask that you would give them wisdom and courage and help them to use the power they have well. Amen. Right, our next finger is our fourth finger. It might be your ring finger if you're married. People believe that there's a direct link from there to your heart. It's also quite a weak finger, and it's very difficult to do anything just with that finger. If you play the piano, you'll know it's one of the hardest fingers to make do what you want. So we're going to pray for people in society who might be feeling very weak at the moment, either because they don't have a home or they've had to leave their homes. Perhaps we think of refugees. Perhaps we think of people who are ill, and let's pray for them. Jesus, thank you that you took notice of everyone, that you cared for those who were feeling ill, that you looked after the poor. And we pray that you'd help us to look after people around us who need special care at this time. And in a moment of quiet, let's just think if there's somebody we think who really needs to know God in their life today. Father, would you come by your presence and encourage and bless and strengthen those people? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we've done four. Now we're on to our last one, our little finger. If you've ever hurt your little finger, you'll know that it's quite difficult again to do things because it tends to get in the way, even though we might not notice it. And we're going to pray for ourselves as we think about our little fingers. Some people find it very uncomfortable praying for themselves, but Jesus is interested in all of us, and he knows the deepest desires of our hearts. So if you can think of something where you'd like Jesus to help you, let's just have a moment of quiet and pray that now. Jesus, thank you that you know each one of us, that you know the plans you have for us. You know the things we struggle with, and you know the areas where we can grow closer to you. Would you help us to know your presence and to follow you this week? Amen. Amen. We're going to finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together, and it's going to appear on the screens for us in just a second. This is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. I think it's going to appear. Here we go. Let's say this together. It kind of sums up the whole of life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.